Good morning, everyone. Let's get this party started. If you're watching the replay, let me tell you a couple of things. This is the weekly Q&A with me. If you're brand new, what we do is on Wednesdays, there is a Q&A where I go through and answer the most asked questions between Ask Coaches and the Facebook group. So our team goes through and basically they're just looking for the things that the entire membership keeps asking over and over again. I do a Q&A on Wednesdays. Sometimes it's another coach. Most of the time you're going to get me because I love doing them. Let's just be honest. Anytime I can be on camera with you guys, I'm just like, all in, let's do it. But that's what we do this week. And so there is a price to pay to be in this one. And it's not your membership fee. In order to listen to Corinne's Facebook Lives, coaching calls, anything that is called live content or replay content, if it's anything outside of the No BS Weight Loss course itself, the price to pay in order to listen is you must have your doable 24-hour plan made for the day. If you are listening to these words coming out of my mouth and you have not made a 24-hour plan yet, you need to stop, drop, and make a plan. Get out of the Facebook Live, push pause on your private member podcast. Do not watch another thing that I say or do, because if you're not doing the absolute foundational basic, there is nothing I'm going to tell you here that's going to help you more than you making yourself write your 24-hour plan. Period. We have to quit showing up and consuming content and waiting for a mic drop or a wisdom bomb or a light bulb to shatter by me saying something. The way we lose weight is we take action. And we take action by not listening to more content if we haven't made our 24-hour plan. So here's the rules. These lives are always optional. I say this every week now because I don't care if you've been here 4 years or 4 minutes. People always somehow sit around and bastardize every word I say in the orientation and the No BS weight loss course, where I say it's self-paced. Like all of the bonus material, all the lives, all the replays, that's the extras. You don't even need them. There's a big segment of our group called Bottom Line Bitches. You know what they do? They don't listen to the live shit ever. They barely even listen to a replay. They're doing their plans. They listen to the No BS weight loss course and they're living their life and they're losing their weight because they're not sitting around going like, oh my God, another thing dropped into my podcast player. What am I going to do? There's too much stuff. They don't do that shit. That's called optional thinking. I'm going to teach you really how to lose your weight. Losing your weight requires losing mental weight first. And the mental weight comes in having thoughts like there's too much content. No, there's not. That's called a thought. That's not a fact. There are videos. You listen to them in order. Period. If you're new, you're in the No BS weight loss course, like a boss. They're all in order for you. You don't even have to think about which one to watch next. It's just like, go straight in order. And then every time you listen to one, guess what? You'll complete one and you'll get like a shiny button that'll light up. It'll tell you which one's your next one. You don't have to listen to anything else or look at anything else. If you want to lose weight, do the course. Now, if there are some of you who come in and you're like, hey, I'm listening to these lessons. These are great. I'm doing some of the things. If you want to attend these classes live, attend them live. But don't sit here and be overwhelmed. That's your choice. Sit here and be intentional. Sit here and learn. Sit here and know that you're going to take one thing from this and you're going to do it. And that's the other thing I want to tell you. We have 3 steps to being an OBS woman. Number one, you do the orientation. If you've got your head up your ass about being a failure, about being overwhelmed, about anything, being confused, go back to orientation and listen again. I talk about how to start looking to the future, how to quit thinking about what's not working, how to quit thinking about being broken. I help you see what you need to see in order to take some action. Step 2 is always no BS. You have to go through the No BS weight loss course, and you are going to have to listen to it more than once. I tell the members all the time, get your head out of your ass and listen to it again. If you're, and I want to say this again, if you're feeling overwhelmed, like somebody just posted, she's talking to me, I'm newbie and I feel overwhelmed. Get off the Facebook Live. What are you doing here? I just got there saying, it's like, not only did you listen to me say, get off the Facebook Live, but then you posted about still being here. Go push play on the No BS Weight Loss course. There's nothing to be had in here. Because if you haven't listened to the No BS Weight Loss course and you're not putting those things into action, then I'm just going to talk about shit in here that we talked about in No BS deeper. And of course you're going to feel overwhelmed. Because you're going to be like, that doesn't make sense. What's she talking about? We have to listen to our lessons. The biggest lesson for all of you to learn when it comes to overwhelm is overwhelm happens when you're sitting back and you're looking and you're worrying and thinking. Do you know what the cure for overwhelm is? Action. Doing something. One thing. There ain't no right thing. There ain't no best thing. There's none of that stuff. There's like, hey, she said write a 24-hour plan. If my ass is sitting here without a 24-hour plan, dead ass stop. Look, Corinne's got hers done. If the queen get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get ready for Q&As, workout, do all the work she's got to do before she even gets here at 9 o'clock, get a shower, no less, start her period and all the things, and get a 24-hour plan, so can I. I don't make excuses. I don't sit around and think about how much shit I got to do this morning. You know what I do? I just start doing one thing at a time. I don't think there's a best thing. I just start doing things every single day. The only way you'll ever feel overwhelmed is if you allow yourself to sit around and think things like there's too much. I don't know what to do. The nice thing about being here is I'll tell you exactly what to do. I just need you to actually do those things. Very simple. Orientation. Number one. Number two, no BS. And number three, take action. Every time you listen to a video, every time you listen to a Facebook Live, every time you hit a push play on a replay, pull out one thing and think, how can I get this done today? Where on my calendar in the next week will I do this? When will I try this? Which meal will I try to do this thing? Get your, that's like the person who's doing that and asking those questions is never overwhelmed. The person who's overwhelmed is like, oh my gosh, I just heard a lot of stuff. I wonder which one I should do. I don't know if I can do all of them. You never need to do all of them. You only have to do one thing, y'all. One thing. If you do just one thing a day, over time, the entire belief system that's going to, that you believe that you're going to fail crumbles because every day you're taking a little bit of action, proving it wrong. So orientation, No BS weight loss course, and then we take action. The price of entry into any bonus video, any coaching call, any Facebook Live is always a 24-hour plan. If that's not done, please don't sit here and waste your time. I'm just telling you, it's not worth it. You have to, at some point, learn how to do this when you're scared. At some point, you have to learn how to write a 24-hour plan when you think it's not good enough. You have to override that and be like, you know what? You know what's not good enough? Not making a 24-hour plan. That's the ultimate not good enough. You have to learn how to make a 24-hour plan when you think it won't work. Guess what? A plan not made for fuck sure is not going to work. You have to make a 24-hour plan when yesterday you ate your face off. You got to make one today telling yourself, I got to learn from yesterday. I got to figure out what to tweak and what to finesse. What am I afraid to put on this plan? What am I afraid to take off? Am I going to continue to let fear be the deciding factor of how I make my plans? Or am I going to start using courage instead? That's the benefit of doing that 24-hour plan every day, is you learn how to override this like
belief you have that you've got to feel like it to do it. Most of you are changing cat boxes, walking dogs in sub-freezing temps, wiping baby asses, doing all kinds of things that you never really want to do in the moment, but you do them anyway. So don't sit there and tell me some fucking bullshit lie that you need to be motivated before you do something. Ain't none of us got to be motivated first. We got to be willing. There's a big ass difference. All right. Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. And then we're going to do the questions. Camp is open. It's going to be good. I started the research. I've got already. See this little notebook? This is called, listen, I tore out all the pages of old notes that I had. This is the notebook of stuff that I've already started. Oops, wrong pages. That I've already started for the self-sabotage camp weekend. It's going to be transformational as fuck. If you want information about it, everything is on the website now and registration is wide ass open. So if you go to pnptribe.com, get logged in, go to the events. And it'll be May 14th through the 16th. It's a three-day event. We do it virtual and in person. If you want to come in person, you have to be able to supply a vaccination record at the time of registration. There was no way we could wait and hedge bets on who's going to get their vaccination or not. For this specific camp, you got to be vaccinated first. And you also need to be an essential worker. We are opening up 80 spots for vaccinated essential workers to come for our very first in-person camp since, this is our first big one since 2019. In 2020, all of the big camps got canceled. We had a couple small events, but all the big camps were canceled. So there's the virtual option also. So we have the version where you come, it's more expensive because you're coming to Nashville. We got to put you up and all kinds of stuff, like in an amazing room with all the lighting, all the video, all the screens, all the things. If you want the affordable option, you just come virtual. One of the best things that ever happened in 2020 in terms of just for no BS was that we really figured out how to do a high-end, classy virtual experience for you guys. I don't even like to call it an event because it's really a weekend where we do a transformational experience. If you have any questions about camp in terms of is it worth it, you know, all that kind of stuff, I suggest you ask in the Facebook group. Here's what I know. Our last camp, 30% of our members came. Every single one of our virtual camps have grown, like they've almost doubled every single time because people want to come back because they know how impactful it is. So if you really want to put an end to some self-sabotage, we have a self-sabotage small bites course. I'm blowing it out for the entire weekend. We're just going to work on the concept. I'm already doing research on it now. I'm also getting information from our January campers. I'm kind of working with you guys in Facebook a little bit. I'm reading all the comments you're putting in there about what kinds of self-sabotage trip you up. It's going to be amazing as usual. And as always, there'll be an amazing swag box. If you're coming virtual, you get a swag box. If you're coming in person, you're getting a different swag box. You're going to get some of the same stuff they're getting, but you're also getting some extra stuff. It's just, I spent the last year when COVID took away my in-person events, I knew that when we went back, I wanted to make sure that we were prepared to do the types of in-person events that I had always dreamed of. We haven't been able to do those kind yet. We are in the position now to where we are going to make the in-person be such an amazing weekend. Like the moment you walk in to the moment you leave, you won't believe the experience that you're going to have. So I encourage you to check it out if you want to come. And yes, being a teacher does count as an essential worker. Anybody that was deemed an essential worker who had to keep working while all this was going on, you are an essential worker. So please feel free to register if you want to. All right. Let me find my questions real quick. I'm new to the group, but I've been listening for a couple of months. I keep telling myself, as you recommend, that I'm not broken. Why can't I just get this? I know what to do in my head and just don't do it. I am trying to name my feelings to get a better idea of why. the biggest thing that's going on here is she said, I don't want to sound negative. I keep trying. I want to live a healthy life. I just joined. What do I do? The very first thing is to realize that I'm broken is the feeling. So broken is a feeling. It's coming from a thought. So when you get to module 2 of No BS, we will deep dive into what's called the think, feel, do cycle. So feelings are one word emotions, and broken is one of them. And so this is a tip for everyone. When we are trying to sit around and trying to figure out why we keep doing something. So if you think about the think, feel, do cycle, I wish I had my whiteboard over here. When you think, well, hang on. Y'all going to get to see my ultimate Lulu period comfy pants. They are big. They are stretchy. They do the job because I'm going to tell y'all, when I'm on my period, woo, I can't have nothing pressing on the lady parts. I have obviously been doing all the drawings. Hang on. Well, all right. This ain't going to work because Corinne has got to wash the board. It's all dried out. All right. Let's do think, feel, do cycle. You got the think line, which is at the top. You got feeling. And then you've got do. When you notice on your do line, the do line becomes I don't do the things I say I'm going to do, and you feel broken, you want to know what thought is causing broken. For a lot of people, it's going to come back to allowing yourself to think about failed diets in the past. You're going to notice that when you list, and what I would suggest you do is to write down the reasons, why do I feel broken when it comes to weight loss? And then I want you to write 10 things you think, like, well, I think I'm broken because, I think I'm broken because, I think I'm broken because. And what will happen is after because, you will have things that you probably are allowing yourself to think unconsciously that feel broken. And when you don't know that that tape is running underneath the surface, then when it comes time to eat on plan, or it comes time to stop it enough, or it comes time to wait for hunger, you're going into it with this energy of, well, why bother? Because your brain will think out loud, why bother? But underneath why bother is this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. All of that is just stored in what's called your habit default brain. All of us have it. Every single person. There's no way to not have it. Your brain is naturally designed to have a lot of default thinking shaped by either things you've experienced, words people have said to you, things you've seen in magazines, stuff you read on the socials. It's also based on just at some point, you probably quit a diet and you told yourself it was because you suck and you can never lose weight. And then you thought about it enough to where your brain is like, yeah, man, we suck. Man, weight loss is always going to be hard for us. And you know what? I know it's going to be hard because like every time I go on my Facebook feed, all my friends are talking about how hard it is. You know, every time I went to a Weight Watchers meeting, all we did was sit around and try to figure out how we can game the system because, you know, losing weight is just so hard. That's where how all that happens. So what I need you to do is be patient. This is the hardest part. I teach a concept here at No BS about how the most important skill that every single person will need when it comes to losing weight is patience. We don't know that patience is a skill, but patience is a skill. When we're frustrated that we keep thinking we're broken, when we're frustrated that we notice that we're not doing the things we say we're going to do, when we spend time in frustration, we're not spending time in patience. When we're beating ourselves up over our mistakes, we're not being patient with the process. So if you, let's say you are supposed to make a 24-hour plan, you don't make a 24-hour plan, you spend the afternoon at a low level going, I probably should have made that 24-hour plan today. Here I am, somebody that joined that damn no BS, and look at me. I'm not even doing the 24-hour plan. And Corinne rails on me all the time about this. Every call she starts, she says, I'm supposed to make my 24-hour plan. And that's just running underneath the surface. And you're not stopping yourself from thinking it. Rather than doing this and saying, like, this is part of the process. Rather than sitting around and beating myself up over not making my 24-hour plan, I probably should just get one out and make one for the rest of the day. Because eventually what will happen is if I always stop myself and just make the plan no matter what, it'll probably be easier for me to remember to do it earlier in the day. That's practicing patience. The thing for all my newbies to understand is this might be the first time that you've ever been introduced to the idea that you have thinking that feels very real, but it's not true. It's just a collection of your thinking. And what we're going to do in module 2 of No BS is turn up the volume on a lot of the thinking that feels broken, that feels frustrating, that feels impossible, that feels doubtful. What we want to do is turn the volume up on all of that thinking so that we can also at the same time identify new thinking that feels compassionate, understanding, aware, willing, trusting. And then what we do is we play with both of them for a while. And the way we play with both of them for a while is you go through these stages of where in the beginning, you're just hearing all of this and you're feeling all this, but you're still doing the same things. But the difference between you now and the you before you joined is you weren't listening. You were just failing with no hope of improving. You were just watching your life go by, feeling really bad about, like, I don't know why I can't get my shit together. Now what we're going to do is we're going to know why we can't get our shit together, but that doesn't mean immediately it feels better. And it doesn't mean that you immediately get your shit together. But the step to getting it to where you actually do new things is you've got to be aware of what has to be untangled and reprogrammed in your mind. That's why module 2 is the absolute, like, for me, most important module in all of No BS. When you take that one and you really take it to heart, all other modules are easier to implement. All other modules, the lessons really start making more sense. But I put it in module two for a reason. The first thing I want you to do when you get in here is just know what you need to be doing to lose your weight. And I want it to feel simple. And for a lot of you, most of it is going to be simple. But for some of you, when you're like, it doesn't feel as easy for me, that's where module 2 comes in and helps make it easier. So for all of you, what you'll do is you'll turn the volume up on all that thinking that nobody's taught you to listen to. And then it'll also increase the volume of some of those feelings. You've been feeling them the entire time. You've just been eating over them really fast, so you don't have to feel them as much. Now what I want you to do is just kind of get to where you're feeling them and giving yourself the opportunity to tell yourself, here's a new way. I am not broken. I am learning about the neuroscience. I am learning about the think, feel, do cycle. I am learning about these things. I've always thought something was wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. I have thinking to unwind and reprogram. And the good news is it doesn't matter how old I am or how long it's been going on. The brain just adapts to what it's being told over and over and over again. So if you tell yourself new stuff over and over and over again, no matter what your age is and how long it's been going on, your brain is compelled and forced to change. It wants to do that. So we're going to teach you all of that. So I just wanted you to not feel broken. I wanted you to realize that when you feel broken, it's just because of some thoughts. All right. When the urges are so in your face, I cannot concentrate on other things because each time the thoughts go back to the urge. What do I do? How do I remove the energy from these urges? So when urges feel intense, it's probably because you're having an urge and you're having thoughts about the urge. So there is a difference between, like experiencing the desire to want to eat and then experiencing the vitriol we have around having an urge to eat. So let me explain what I mean. If I am sitting there and I have an urge at night, what's going to happen is I'm going to be like, oh God, like some nuts would be really, that's always like, it's either nuts or wine for Corinne. That's what I crave the most at nights. It's like after I've eaten dinner, after I've had a long day, I'm in the bed, I'm sitting there watching the TV and I've shut it down. My brain always wants to eat. Now, this is like, and I won't say every single night. All right. I don't want to scare all of you that you got to go through the rest of your life with urges to eat. But I would say a good 2 to 3 times a week still, I want to eat at night. I was a bedtime eater like all my life. Even when I was losing weight, I kept that nighttime snack in for a long time. That was my wub. I was not ready to let that thing go. So I have plenty of experience wanting to eat at night and fulfilling that promise to myself. So I have recently really worked on not eating at night. Now, for a long time, I've not been a nighttime eater, but I would say 2 or 3 nights a week, Chris and I will eat nuts or we'll do, or we'll, we won't plan for wine and beer. And then about 3 o'clock, we'll decide, oh, let's just go out tonight. So what I've realized is there's a difference between me wanting to eat and noticing, like me saying like, ooh, nuts would be good. And me saying like, yeah, but we're not eating tonight. It really fucks your sleep up, Corinne. And it'll be fine. You can wait like 15 or 20 minutes and I bet the urge will pass. There's that kind of conversation. That one is about talking to yourself about the experience. It's like having a conversation with yourself. It's not admonishing. It's not arguing. It's not fitful and whatnot. What most of us do when we have what we call the energetic urges is we, like, let's say you always have an urge to eat at night. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. You're already thinking, okay, no matter what, we're not eating tonight. Like, today's the day. We're going all in. We've got a plan, blah, blah, blah. And there's just no way. We don't need it. And we already start talking to ourselves energetically about it. Then as the day goes on, the conversation deep in our brain starts shifting to, it's going to be a long night. You know, you're going to want those urges, but tonight we're not going to do it. And we start talking about it as if the pain is coming. We'd just like you to know the pain bomb is on its way, Corinne. Tonight you're going to want it. It's going to suck, but you're going to be strong. Like we talk about it, like the experience is going to be fucking horrible. And then as we get closer and closer and closer, guess what ends up happening? We start dreading when the urge is going to start. We start thinking things like, I just hope tonight's not the night that I have urges. I mean, I've got a solid plan, but you, and then your brain wants to go to, and you know, like you didn't do so well last week and you've been eating at night, like a long time. So we're like telling this story that jacks us up all the time. And we just think we're just having this normal ass conversation. But what we're doing is we're driving our cortisol levels up around the first time we have the urge talk. So by the time, like I'm laying in bed, 8 o'clock, we got right now, Chris and I are watching Arrow. Honestly, it's not that good, but it's not bad, but if you like shirtless ripped men, I highly suggest you watch it because I keep telling Chris, like, I know the only reason why this show had 8 seasons because they keep about 3 characters shirtless working out all the time. So we're watching Arrow. He actually likes it too. It's a superhero thing. My brain says, Ooh, we should have some nuts. You know, you worked out really hard this morning. And like, but this is my favorite. It's always on Wednesday nights too. My brain will say, today was like your really busy meeting day. Like you're so tired and you didn't even get to eat breakfast today. So if you have some nuts, it won't be that big a deal. Like I haven't had breakfast yet. I'm just going to tell you my Wednesday mornings are ham, y'all. Like I start at 4 and I go large until about, I think my first break today is at noon. And so I'm laying there and here it comes, urge voice. Now, if I lay there and dread that shit all day long and whatnot, then the minute the urge voice comes in, I'm like, oh, fuck. I wish I didn't have these urges. I knew this was going to happen. And then everything that I dreaded and feared and like basically when you dread and fear and like are scared will happen, your brain has been doing visualizations and trial runs of it being awful all day long. And what your brain does, what it does in visualization land and dry run land, thinks it's already happened. So then when you have the urge, it triggers you to like, all right, send in the cortisol, send in all the fighting thoughts, send in all the like, you shouldn't eat. This is going to be terrible. I hope it doesn't last too long. Just get busy doing something else and let's just hope it passes. Guys, I want you to think about each and every one of those sentences. Each one of them feels really terrible, or they feel very resisty, or they feel admonishing or struggle bussy. There's lots and lots of ways. Like what the way we teach it is there's like the pre-urge stage, the actual here's the urge, what to do in the middle, and what to do after an urge. All of that is in module 3. I really mean it when I talk to you guys about it's important for you to have really good conversations with yourself all day long about having an urge. Like even just telling yourself, I bet it can be easier than I've been making it out to be. That might sound like bullshit to you, but I want you to think about when I say with an urge, I bet it can be easier than I'm making it out to be, your brain is like, what? It catches it off guard. When I say urges are hard as fuck, we really struggle, but we got to do it. Your brain already sees you sitting there braced for a hurricane. We don't need to do that to ourselves. So it's going to take rewiring. If you want them to be energetically less intense, you've got to ask yourself, how do I want to think about urges themselves when they come? Do I want to think I can figure it out? Do I want to think with enough time, patience, and attention, they'll lessen? Do I want to think about one of these days, I bet they'll come in and it will be easy to say no? Do I want to think, I know normal eaters and thin eaters have them too. If they can have urges and say no, it must be a skill I can learn. But most of us, what we're doing is we're not even entertaining those kinds of thoughts. This is what we do. We're like, here's the facts. Urges fucking suck. They're hard. I've been having them all my life. I've never been good at them. I doubt that I'll ever be good at them. It's probably just going to be my struggle for the rest of my life. And we talk about it like that, not realizing, well, you keep talking about it like that. Guess what you're going to get? Same sad ass results. Some nights you'll be successful, but you'll have to end in a cold sweat. We can't rely on just saying no with a cold sweat for the rest of our lives. What we want to do is we want to build those skills of being able to say no to urges in a way that feels very doable and simple. Oh, somebody asked a good question. I'm going to answer it. So when you don't eat till breakfast till noon, do you not make that on your plan? Because I'm not really hungry till about 11 because I have coffee for breakfast. It doesn't matter. You just make your plan, whatever works for you. What I know is for me on Wednesdays, I always plan breakfast. So if I have time, I can. Most Wednesdays, I almost always just don't have time to eat it. And if you can ask my team, I like to actually enjoy my meal. I would rather not have it and go a little longer than to scarf it down and not have the experience of eating it. For me, when I eat, eating is important to me. I want the experience of it. I swear, I think it's one of the things that has helped me with my weight loss and keeping it off is that I've learned that I'd rather trade being a little hungry for scarfing a meal down in fear of getting hungry. I don't like denying myself the pleasure of the eating. And I always plan food that I love. So, you know, like when I'm eating it, I want to be loving it. Now, there are some times that I don't have the most gorgeous meals, this week being one of them. My sister-in-law, we have so much snow and ice here. She can't come. We've not had my sister-in-law's food for 2 weeks now. And Corinne's not much of a cook anymore. So I'm just eating like basic meals. My dinner this week, I shit y'all not, is bagged salad with whatever dressing comes in it. I bought a rotisserie chicken and I deboned it. And I bought a can of chickpeas and I throw some chickpeas on it. That's about all I got in me. And I'm like, for 1 week, I can eat those for dinner. Lunch is literally my Weight Watchers pizzas with a bowl of pre-cut fruit. I either got watermelon, strawberries, or grapes. Whatever Publix had is what I got. Breakfast is either Fiber One with some cashews. I've got, what else do I have for breakfast? Oh, I actually will make some breakfast. On the days that I can, I bought a bunch of eggs because if I'm going to make breakfast, Logan's usually going to eat with me. So I've got a bunch of eggs. I got some bacon and we got some Dave's Killer Bread so I can have some toast. And I bought some sweet potatoes. So if I want to get crazy one night and throw a sweet potato with my salad, I can. We had to get to Publix and we had to get in and out fast because the shelves were going bare because a snowstorm was coming. It's just like, we're just going to make do this week. This is what we do. So I just plan and I'm going to tell you, I am already dying for my fucking sister-in-law to come back. Like, I will cry when she walks in the door. I told Chris last night, that's what's going to happen. All right. I thought I can't trust myself to stay focused, which makes me feel anxious. Of course, we have to quit saying that. And guys, this is a funny thing about you guys. Y'all will say something like, I have this thought as if you have no say-so in the matter to say something else. It's like, I love when you guys pull out a thought, but here's what I would love for you to do. When you pull out a thought, tell me, and then I think. Because if you know it's busted and making you feel anxious, guess what? You got to have a counter argument for that thought. We can't just pull thoughts out and be like, well, there's some awareness. And expect just knowing that you found a busted thought, an old shitty, that somehow everything's going to get better. Just because you find old shitty, don't make old shitty go away. Just means you and he has been found. So when we find those thoughts, we have to find something else we're going to think on purpose every single time we hear it. I tried to be more intentional by saying, and that is a no. I played around with, can I just do it for another month? I don't know what you are doing. I can't trust myself to stay focused. I wouldn't say another month. I would just say like another hour, another day. But that did not feel good. I think one of the things, it's like her bottom line question is, how do I gain more trust in myself? It's understanding that trust is a feeling. If you want to feel trustful, then you have to have a thought of like I'll be there for myself in the moments I'm feeling anxious. I'm willing to look at my thinking so I can change it. You also can look at the things you do for yourself each day. Like you said, I can do this another month. Well, rather than thinking about, you know, hang on for dear life for the next month, look back at the last day and say like, well, I made my 24-hour plan. I obviously can trust myself to do things that I know are good for me. Look at all the little ways that you're already showing up in your life today, and then tie that back to trust. Tie that back to saying, here is evidence that I can trust myself. Sometimes I think I can't, and that's okay. But what I do know is when I look at this last day, there were moments where I did things that I can trust. There's a version of me on the inside who wants more for both of us. That's how you start changing that conversation. What is the benefit of making an audacious goal versus a very realistic one? When you are new, which is better and why? There is no better goal. Both of them have benefits. The biggest thing is when it comes to your weight loss goals, let's say, should you only make a weight goal or are there other more important goals to be making? Here's the thing. Make a weight loss goal and make one that when you make it, that you feel like, okay, I'm willing to try that. Like for some of you, this is what I normally find. The more weight you have to lose, the scarier making weight loss goals could be. That does not mean that that's always the case, but I'm just going to give some general examples. So when I first started losing weight, of course, I had over 100 pounds to lose. I stopped weighing at 250. I mean, I was just like, I was done with the scale. But I wasn't done with getting my life on track. Thank God. So when I first started, I didn't even make a weight loss goal. I made habit goals. And what I teach is called do goals. Habit goals or do goals. Same thing. On your habit tracker, those things that I have you track, those are like do goals. And the reason why we call it a do goal is because it's stuff you're going to do. And I would love for more of you to have like your overall goal, whether it's in 60 days, you want to lose 8 pounds. If you want to set your like, you know, by the time this time next year, I want to lose 100, whatever your goal is. I want you to set that. And then I immediately want you to drop into, so what are the smaller goals that are going to get me there? Like how many 24-hour plans will I need to make in the next week to lose 1 pound? How many meals this week will I need to plan and leave 2 bites behind in order to lose 1 pound this week? Like those are what I call like the smaller do goals. Those are to me some of the most important ones that we forget to set. We get so caught up in this number goal. I think a number goal, what it does is it gives you the direction. So it's like, if I set a goal to lose 4 pounds in a month, it's very clear, like, all right, in order to lose 4 pounds, what will I need to do this month? Like, what kinds of things will I need to try and stuff like that? Then when I make that list, what I do is I attach a goal to it. So if I know, like, I want to lose 4 pounds this month, and one of the things that I'm going to need to do is work on stopping at enough. I know that's my problem. That's what I've got to work on. So if I'm going to work on stopping at enough, then I want to try 10 meals this month where I only eat half. I want to try 10 meals this month where like 10 dinners that I leave 2 bites behind, no matter what. I want to try just whatever, but like I want to try 10 dinners that I use a smaller plate. You know, like you come up with all of your things and then you attach these numbers to it. To me, the do goals are important. But like, so somebody asked, like, what's the difference between a realistic goal and an audacious goal? There's really no difference. I wouldn't get hung up on it. The biggest thing is that when you set a goal, I want you guys, there's no right or wrong way to do this, but I want you to set a goal number that when you see it, you're like, okay, I can see me doing that. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to 100% believe like, oh, that's a done deal. But you could see like the path is starting to materialize. It will be easier for you to figure out what you need to do in order to do that. For some of you, it means that like, you know, like some of you are just like, I'm so motivated right now. Like we'll have people that will, the first couple of months, they'll set smaller goals and they will be following the 4 basics and they're getting so much success. They're ready to set bigger ones. They're like, I actually want to set higher ones because I'm like really learning. I can trust myself. I've gotten some habits down. I'm doing all these things. Like I want to try to run a half marathon now. Like they're setting these big goals that they've never dreamed of and they're excited by the goal and they can see themselves working towards it. And they're up for the challenge. They're not scared of the challenge. They may be a little like, ooh, this is a big one. But they're at the end of the day, they're just like, okay, we're doing this. And then for some of you, you just need to meet yourself where you're at. There's nothing wrong with that. When I will just tell you, like, I'm a huge, y'all know me. I can set goals. I get goals. I do goals. But when, guys, I usually set pretty small ones that I can obtain. Like, every quarter, I set these smaller goals so that I'm just working on things that feel doable and easy. I'm not sitting there like, I got to have the world's most audacious goal for, you know, ever. So it's just a matter of doing whatever feels right to you. I just wouldn't, like, there's just no wrong way. I think a lot of times, you know, I just get this sense that y'all would just want me to tell you the wrong way or the right way to do it. There's really not. There's lots of ways to do this. The best way is always to do things where you're like, okay, I can see myself taking action on this. I've like broken it down into such small steps that now taking action seems very doable. I've cut out the overwhelm. I've cut out most of the doubt. I've cut out a lot of that stuff because I'm not thinking I got to do every basic from day one. Like, a lot of people start and they think because they hear the four basics, that means they have to be implementing the four basics every single day from day one and perfectly to boot. And then on day three, when they haven't dialed in how to stop at eating enough, they're like, something's wrong with me. Like, I'm a fuck up. Like I joined. Why am I not solved already? Nobody is going to be solved in 3 days. I'm just telling all of you. So for some people, it's like, some people, like, starting off with the four basics is so refreshing. They're like, yeah, I can start doing that. And I'm going to play with it and work it until I get it all figured out, until I'm in a rhythm. And they don't ever have to go over like, well, I didn't do it exactly like that person I saw in the Facebook group. They just don't even pay attention to that stuff. But some of you, it's like you've been on so many diets, you have so much diet trauma, or maybe you've been in the program for a while and you just kind of been just casually hanging out, consuming things, listening to things, but you haven't really done jack shit with it yet, or you've only done pieces and parts and wonder why things aren't really happening for you. Look at one part that you can get just diehard focused on. I will tell you, the majority of you, if I was going to start with one thing, it would always be, I guess I always think sleep and water. It's like, come on. We shouldn't have to like sit around and do thought work on sleep and water. You're either doing it or you're not. And every day, you don't need to sit around and journal about why you're not sleeping and you're not watering. You just need to work on that. Set out some water. It's the most tactical things I teach you guys. Set alarms on your phone to drink your water. Set alarms on your phone to turn off the TV and go to bed. Like, they're the most tactical. But if I was going to start with a four basic that takes overriding a lot of your personal bullshit, it would always be the 24-hour plan. The reason why I would do that one is because it gets you the most traction. People who aren't even good at waiting for hunger or stopping at enough, very often when they just start being intentional about thinking about it, planning food, and being very aware when they're eating a lot of shit that's not on paper, lose weight before they even nail hunger and enough. Like, I didn't even start with that. I just got super intentional about, like, here's what I'm eating today. And I kept in my favorites. I didn't worry about hunger and enough yet. I just wanted to make sure that I was getting super intentional about what I was doing. The nice thing for you is a lot of the stuff that I had to do in my brain, I've put on this planner for you. So rather than having to, like, I would sit there and have to think about, like, you know, what do I like about myself? I knew one of the keys for me when losing weight was I had to stop thinking about what I didn't like about myself all day long. That was a habit that I was in. That was like the way that I thought about myself. And God love my mother. I got it straight from her. I still to this day, my mama is like 64. I think Mamie's 64 years old. I swear to God to this day, there's not a day that I don't talk to her that I don't say, Mama, could we just think this? Tell me how it's useful for you to be thinking this about yourself. And she just says it like it's natural. That's the way I was. And so I knew that to lose weight, I remember thinking, I could not afford to keep doing that and expect myself to not want to eat or give up on myself. If I talked to myself like an asshole, I was setting myself up to be more tempted to quit, the more tempted to eat, and more tempted to give up so that I could go back to eating and not have to hear the conversations that I would have with myself. Because if I was just sitting there eating all day in a coma, I didn't hear all the judgments I had of me. And when I started kind of taking some of that away, I started hearing it and I was like, shit, can't do that. So the reason why I say the 24-hour plan is because I ask you questions like, what are you grateful for? What do you like about yourself today? I have you think about your goal so that you're not like not thinking about it and why it's important so that you get to start tying like, you know, the reason why I'm going to like pay attention today and eat these foods is because of these reasons. You know, for me, when I first started losing weight, I had a couple of big reasons. One reason was I wanted to be able to get in and out of the floor with Logan with ease and to have the energy to play with him because I didn't. I mean, I was 30 years old and I couldn't get up and down out of the floor without getting winded or needing a couch to pull myself up. And I didn't want that. And another one of the things that was a big driver for me was that when Chris and I went places, he walked faster than me. And often I'd have to tell him to slow down because I couldn't keep up. And it's not because Chris Crabtree is a speed walker. I just couldn't keep up. I sat on my ass all the time and ate. And I didn't want that life. And one of the things that scared me the most, I remember my grandfather telling me this, is that he was always like, when it came to Logan, and you know, or when he talked about kids and stuff in general, he said, you never know when their life's going to depend on them listening to you or you being able to get to them. And I remember thinking when I first started like exercising and stuff, thinking if my baby ran out into the street, I don't know that I could catch him. And it scared the fuck out of me. And it was a big motivator for me, especially once he was diagnosed, because kids with autism tend to do stuff like that without thinking. It's always been a big motivator for me to remember that I don't know when my baby's life depends on me making better choices for myself. So I thought about stuff like that every day. On the days when I was ready to reduce ice cream, I thought about that stuff. So in the moment when it was going to feel hard, I could remember like, yeah, it feels hard. And yeah, I'm going to miss eating that much ice cream. But I also have these other reasons. And I just think that's important. And that's why I always want you guys starting with a 24-hour plan. It's the fastest way to get conscious about your food. It's the fastest way for you to start learning how to plan foods that you love every single day and debunk that you can't eat them. It's the fastest way for you to have your goals and your whys in front of your face every single day without just doing it once and then forgetting all about it. It's the fastest way for you to fall in love with yourself because I ask you tons and tons of questions that help you build a better relationship with you. And it's the fastest way for you to start learning how to journal, because even if all you ever do is the 24-hour plan and the assessment page, you've journaled. You've learned how to think about your future. You've learned how to problem solve. You've learned how to assess. You've learned how to listen to your excuses. That's why I designed this planner this way. So if you just do the 24-hour plan, the rest of it gets so much simpler. Okay. Where is the balance between not beating myself up in order to reach certain goals versus choosing to not beat myself up, but being too permissive, which causes me to quit on myself? Being permissive is not what causes us to quit on ourselves. Saying it's okay, that's not love. We need to tell ourselves, you know what? It's not okay because I've got goals. You don't have to say it's not okay and you're a fucking loser. That's beating yourself up. There's a big difference, guys. None of you are going to lose weight beating yourself up. But on the flip side, I coached somebody on this the other day. Someone said, well, now that you've told me that we're going to make mistakes, before I overeat, I just tell myself, oh, this is one of those mistakes I'm going to learn from. Okay, that's not being kind to yourself. That's lying to yourself. That's taking something and justifying eating. And you have to be aware of yourself when you do that stuff. Don't call it like I'm being too nice to myself. Because if I hear myself think, because it's a busted thought if I ever heard one. Oh, Corinne said we're going to make mistakes, so I'm going to go ahead and eat this. I would say like, ooh, that's a lie. Grin said sometimes we're going to make mistakes and we've got to learn from it, but we don't make a mistake. We don't eat on purpose and use what she teaches as an excuse. That's called telling the truth. One of the things that you guys have to do is when you overeat, when you do things, you have to be determined to learn from it. You have to say like, I refuse to beat myself up for it. But it's okay to be disappointed. I thought I would do this. I did this. I can see why I'm disappointed. Because there's a mismatch between the behavior I expected of myself and the behavior that I showed up with. So what can I learn from it? I want you all to learn the difference between feeling disappointed, a little like, that's okay. But what's not okay is to sit and talk to yourself like, I'm never going to get this. I'm so broken. Nothing ever works for me. You're so lazy and stupid. That's beating yourself up. That's never going to work. All right. Let's see. You had such a powerful why when you started your journey. What if my why doesn't feel good enough? Keep thinking. Not all of my whys were that powerful. Some of them were like literally one of my big whys was I couldn't wait to never walk into a fucking Lane Bryant ever again. It didn't make me cry. But the reason why I had powerful whys, guys, is not because like I sat down and was like, okay, I have a powerful why. It's because I spent days and days and days always challenging myself to think about why it was important. I never went a day without thinking about all the reasons why. I would look around my life and find all the little reasons why this is important to me. I think what you guys do is you do like an exercise with me on your why, or you'll get asked the question in here and you'll write the same thing every single day. Think harder on it. Push yourself for, 3 weeks to every single day to come up with new reasons why. One new reason every single day. Like when I have you guys do any kind of why exercise, I have you list 25. Most of you list like 2 that feel okay. And here's the thing. All whys are good. the way that I teach you guys why, and I forget the lesson it's in. It's Mary Jo, if you'll link them, it's that future self lesson. It's in the bonus courses. I did it beginning of January. I believe it was the second Saturday in January. I don't know why I can remember that, not the title. But I teach you guys that whys are like, some of them have power in certain moments and they have no power in other moments. Like for me, like if I'm getting ready to go face down in some wine, wanting to look good in my bathing suit this summer ain't gonna cut it. Now, if it's breakfast and I'm trying to decide, do I want to like eat this breakfast or, you know, enjoy a little of what Logan has because he's ordered all the things from Cracker Barrel. It's that one is very compelling. My mindset's in a different place. But if I'm in the face of stress and wanting to have wine and all the things, I've got to have a different reason why. And a lot of times for me, like that why in that moment is I really think about how I'm going to feel the next morning. I'll go back and I will like, and I do this a lot, especially with wine. A lot of you can do this when you binge and stuff. I will go back and I will read about how I physically felt the last time that I did this. And I'll read, the reason why journaling is so important is so that sometimes you go back and you're like, when is the last time that I overdrank or overate? And what did I journal about? And I remind myself of, hey, this is what it's really like. You think right now you're going to feel better. This is what you're going to create, though. Those are some of the things to think about. So it is called The Future You. You gave the link, Mary Jo, but can you give a Thinking Like Future You? That's the name of the course over in the bonus courses. If any of you want to do it, we did it in January, but you can do that one if you want to. Not if you're brand new. If you're brand new, you do no BS. But if you are somebody who can hook your mouth up to a fire hose and you're like, hey, I did module one the first few days, I think I can like tackle one more, you can do that. But if you're like, oh my God, there's so much stuff, blah, blah, blah. Trust me, all those bonus courses will be there. When you finish an OBS, you will be wanting to do bullshit. There's plenty of bullshit to be done. All right. Y'all have a good one. Make sure you check out camp. If you have any questions about, is it worth it? Like, what do y'all do there and stuff? I'm going to let all of you ask inside the Facebook group. I know that we deliver an amazing experience. So I trust what the members tell you. In a couple of weeks or so, we may have some Q&As and stuff, but honestly, I just think they're amazing. I give my heart and soul 3 days of yelling, preaching, crying, motivating, all the things. We have a DJ, we have all the things. So I promise you won't be disappointed if you sign up. Y'all have a wonderful one. I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.